And let us turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm 3. We're going to take a couple of, at least this week. I keep having in my mind, and I was telling this to the consistory Wednesday evening, I thought next week we also had Lord's Supper with Pentecost, and so I've got my brain stuck on that. So I was going to take next week off of our sermon series as well, but with this week and getting prepared for Synod meeting, I wanted to look a little bit easier than continuing there in Deuteronomy. So looking at Psalm 3 as our text this morning, and note, I don't know if your Bibles have it in there, but the context, at least as far as we can tell, and these are not, these are not inspired, but it says a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. And these are something that comes to us from the Jewish rabbis, but I think it's helpful for us to understand what's going on. And I think many of them are fairly accurate when David prays this psalm. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's word this morning, David is fleeing from his own son. We talked about adoption. And adoption can be a difficult thing, but sometimes our own children can be worse. And we have to realize that David is running from his son who has usurped the kingdom, has told Israel that my dad doesn't have enough time for you, he's not going to help you, and has overthrown his father and made him run. Now, if we also remember why this happened, this goes back to the fountainhead of David's sin against Bathsheba and Uriah, of course. That God had promised David that due to that fact, he would have trouble in his family for the rest of his life. And yet, where does David go in the midst of this? Say, well, it's my fault, so God's not going to help me? There's a lot of comfort in that, isn't there, brothers and sisters? When we mess up, when we even have enemies against us because of our own sins, yet we can come to the throne of God. He hears us. He helps us. He provides for us. Doesn't mean it's all going to be hunky-dory. And it certainly was not in David's family. But we need to understand that God carries his people through. The most important thing that can be about us is not that I have a family that loves me perfectly and a life and a job that's just perfect and all these other things. The most important thing about any one of us is that we are right with God. And yes, some of those times, God doesn't give us back everything that we want in this world. But God gives us the most important thing. Eternal life. Eternal purpose. Eternal joy and glory. And so as we live in this world, we look to serve and to glorify God. We look to God for protection and provision. And God is the one who gives them to us. not the things of this world that we so easily say, well, I want this and I want that. I'd be happy if I had this. I'd be happy if I had my family right, my relationship with my spouse better, this or that. No. Seek after the things of God, and all of these other things come into focus. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we see is the Lord protects His people from the fear of enemies. The Lord protects His people from the fear of enemies. In verses 1 and 2, we have an example, and we look at the enemies of the believer. In verses 3 through 6, we see that Christians rest in God's protection. And verses 7 through 8, we see that God provides salvation for His people. So first of all, we take a look at the enemies of the believer, and of course, we know the primary enemy here is Absalom. And as we've said, this is because of David's sin. This is God's promised curse on David's own sin. And it's not just when other people decide to be mean against us. It is also when we fail. And the enemies are our own fault. We can still come before Almighty God, and He hears us and He cares for us. But not only physical enemies, but spiritual enemies. Remember, it's not long ago, about this time last year, we were looking at the armor of God, reading in Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Sounds pretty scary, right? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We so often think that we're the powerful ones. We're going to beat back the enemies. We don't need any of God's help, really. Maybe He needs to just give us a little bit of a shove. But we're doing it, right? And it's like the little kid with his little stick saying, "Let me at him, let me at him," to a tank. And of course, God is the one who stands over all. He says, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand. We are called as Christians to stand against the enemy. God fights for us. We saw that as we looked at the armor of God. Remember the equipment that God gives us. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, the belt. Brothers and sisters, we do need to be prepared for battle, because this world is not our friend. Think of what Jesus says in John 15, 19. For if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Brothers and sisters, do not think that the world is going to be our friends, is going to help us along to glory. The world is going to put everything they possibly can in the way, as well as the devil. And sadly, our own flesh. Do not think that the world is our friend. Be reminded that the world hates us as Christians. And do not fear. But at the same time, we don't need to be jaded as Christians. That is the wonder of where we are, saved by grace. We don't need the love of the world. We have the love of God. And brothers and sisters, as we live in this world, the world needs us as salt and light. The world needs the truth of the gospel. We need to pity the world. Don't live in this world thinking, well, if I'd be better off if I were separate. Be better off if I didn't have to struggle with the things going on here. Jesus says in His high priestly prayer, I do not pray that you would take them out of the world. God puts us here to bring the good news of the gospel into the world. And that means interfacing with a world that is broken, full of sin. It means life isn't going to always be easy. It means we have a message that they need. The most important message that we can possibly have of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of hope in the broken world. And notice the taunt of David's own son. And of many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Now, interestingly enough, the taunt assumes the power of God. God could help, but he's not gonna. And of course, too often that's our perspective as we sit in troubles, isn't it? God could help. I don't think he's gonna. What does the Apostle James say? You have not because you ask not. We need to be on our knees before God. Remember, as we talked about the armor that God gives us, it was all bathed in prayer, praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's the end of the armor that often gets chopped off of the end. We need prayer. We need to be about prayer because we are in contact with the greatest army captain of the universe. The Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. That speaks to God as an army general, or whatever you want to call it, admiral, wherever you want to go with that. God helps his people. He does not leave us in the wind. Psalm 71:10-11, for my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for me, my life, take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him, pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. But what did we talk about? We have privileges. We have access as those who are adopted children of God. God hears us. God cares for us. He does, even though we are miserable sinners. And so in the midst of those times when we ourselves say, not even those around us, God's not going to help. Brothers and sisters, we are to be driven to God. When we cannot help ourselves, and even when we think we can help ourselves, we need the power of God. We need to be in prayer. The Apostle Paul says to us a number of places, pray continuously. We need to be always in prayer before the throne of grace. It doesn't mean it needs to be big and eloquent prayers. It needs to be, Lord, help me. Lord, what do I do here? Lord, how do I love this person with your gospel who is being an enemy to me at this time? How can we as Christians live in this world as salt and light? With God, there is help. With God, there is mercy. God cares for us perfectly as his people. And we can rest in that protection. I just love verse 5 of this psalm. We'll get there in a few moments, but I love what he says. I lay down and slept. In the midst of battle, in fact, the midst of running from the enemy, which is what David did mostly in this situation, isn't it? He laid down and slept. Can you do that in the middle of a battle? In the middle of a war? Certainly not easily. Not with, as the psalmist says, enemies all around. Verse 8:6, I will not be afraid of tens of thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Going back to verse 3, but you are a shield to me. The Lord shields his people. God protects us from things that we can't even imagine. So often, we think, well, I'm doing it myself. I'm handling it. When we don't realize there are 1,500 barbs coming from every other direction, we're not looking. I just love, as an example of this, and I don't want to get deep into, cosmology and things like that, but when we look at the universe God created, and we look at this planet which God provided for us, we say, oh, hey, that's kind of a nice planet. There's millions all over the universe like it. I just read a world in another universe we see that's better Earth than Earth. And I laugh. Because you look at what God put around this planet. We've got the ionosphere that protects us. We've got the I can't remember the exact names. There's another thing above that that prevents certain things, radiation, and then other things. And now we've got probes going out into interstellar space. And we said, oh, it looks really calm out there, right? We've got a protection out there. And God protects this little planet. And I think that's such a good picture of how God protects us. We say, oh yeah, God protected me from that. I saw that coming. When we didn't see 15 million things that are hitting us from every other direction. God is as a shield to us, His people. In light of enemies, we are not the ones who lift our heads. Notice what he says. My glory and the one who lifts my head. As Christians, it ought not be about me. We so easily make it about me and my pleasure and my enjoyment. But God is the one who provides importance to us. He places us in a place where we can serve Him. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my shield and my strength. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices and with my song I will praise Him. The Lord is my strength, my shield. We can trust in Him. He helps us. He is the one who hears our cry. Notice, I cried to the Lord with my voice and He heard me from His holy hill. God hears our prayers. Brothers and sisters, that shakes me to my very being every time I think about it. The God of the universe, the God whom we have offended in our sins, our enemy according to our human nature, our sinful human nature, He is the one who hears us and answers and cares for us and has, as we said earlier, adopted us as children of God. And He knows our needs better than we ever do. And yet, at that same time, He hears our requests. He uses them. Psalm 4, verse 3, but I know that the Lord has set apart for Himself Him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to Him. And as I said, we can rest in the Lord's protection. I lay down and slept. I awoke and the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who set themselves against me all around. 10,000s of people all around David. He says, I can take a nap. And we can rest as God's people. We think we have to stand on our guard all the time and get it all right. God's the one who protects us. God is the one who provides us. I love what Stonewall Jackson said in the middle of the Civil War. My religious beliefs teach me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time of my death. I do not concern myself with that, but to be always ready whenever and wherever it may overtake me. That is the way all men should live, and all men would be equally brave. We can live in this world without fear of man, based on the Word of God. We are sustained by God, not by man, not by food, not by the things that we think hold us here. We need the Word of God more than we need our next breath. Luke 12, 22 and 23. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. He says, seek first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, when you lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. We can rest. We can rest in the face of our sins. We can rest in the face of the battles going on in our culture today. We do not need to fear man, to fear tens of thousands around us at your right hand. The psalmist says, Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. It's not horses, it's not chariots, it's not tanks, it's not aircraft carriers and whatever airplane it happens to be now. It is the name of the Lord God. As was said, the pen is more powerful than the sword. The pen is more powerful than the greatest aircraft carrier. We need to stand on the word of God, not on the ideas of man. In Matthew 10:28, and do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We can rest in God. We do not need to fear man and all the machinations of the things causing uproars in our culture today. We need to go back again and again to the Word of God and rest on His promises. Rest on His strength. Because God is the one who provides salvation to His people. Arise, O Lord, save me. Oh my God, a cry to the Lord. We cry out to God. The battle cry of Christians is not, Lord, look at what I can do. It's, arise, O Lord, save me. God is fighting for His people. Yet He uses our prayers to provide the victory. And He does provide the victory. God fights our battles. What does He say? For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Nowadays, we have doctors that do some of the repair of this stuff, but many of these things are very difficult to deal with, aren't they? I was hearing somebody talking about tooth problems this morning. We can't always do a lot with that. God provides victory. God gives a death blow to the enemy. Job 29:17, I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from his teeth. God breaks the fangs of the enemies. God provides victory. Another way to look at this, to be struck on the cheekbone, when you smack somebody, it's a reproach. It's an overthrow. They say at the beginning, we're going to overthrow David. We're going to overthrow God's people. And the exact opposite is true. We are not reproached for standing up for God. God will provide. Yes, the people on this earth may complain and reproach us from that perspective, but God, as we go back, will lift up our heads. God will provide the victory. And the Lord brings more than just earthly victory. Sometimes victory on this earth, if we think of the book of Revelation, to win the victory was not always living through it. But far better to die in the case of doing good for the gospel, for the glory of God, and to have salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. It's not our strength. It's not our abilities. It is Almighty God who provides the victory. And the salvation that God gives, far and above any victory we can have on this earth. What an awesome gift that we can live in this world not fearing man, knowing that God is the one who fights for us, and that God is the one who provides blessing for us, His people. God provides salvation, His blessing, to those who trust in Him. And so, brothers and sisters, in the midst of the battle, even as David is running from his own son because of his own sins, and David doesn't know where this is going. Notice that. He says, "Arise, O Lord, save me." He's still in the midst of this mess. We can cry these same things, "Arise, O Lord, save me." And we don't know the earthly end of the matter. But brothers and sisters, we know the eternal end of the matter. We have eternal hope, so that we do not need to fear man. What can man do to us? The worst they can do is kill us. And God has provided eternal life. God has provided eternal glory. And we need not fear man then. We are, as Stonewall well said, as safe in battle as we are in our beds. And brothers and sisters, God calls us to battle. Not necessarily always on a horse, not always in a tank, or whatever it happens to be. God calls us to battle for Him in the armor of God, in His army, with His gospel, doing battle against the forces of wickedness. And once again, God promises the victory. We might say, "Well, can I do anything? Look at me, I'm just a little nobody." God's the one who gives the victory. We're called, as we said, with the armor of God to stand to the battle. And God can use one person standing far better than a bunch of people hiding under the bed. So, brothers and sisters, let us stand with the army of God. Let us stand and fight, knowing that God can and will use us. And God will bring His gospel to a nation that so needs it, and to a world that so needs it. And God can use me. God can use you in the midst of that. And He will, if we stand fast to Him. He will give the victory. He has won the victory. Even when those around us are giving us trouble, and are our enemies for the sake of the gospel, for the sake even of our own sinfulness, God gives victory, and God can use us to bring the gospel to this world. And we can lay down and sleep in the midst of that battle. Because again, God is the one who provides the victory. We're called to stand to the battle, and He win. He has already won the battle in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us then bow our heads in our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have already won the battle in Jesus Christ, that Christ is through us bringing about mop-up operations. And yet, Lord, we do fight. And You call us to fight. And we pray, Lord, that we would truly fight for the glory of Almighty God, the glory of our Savior. We pray, Lord, that we would not fear man. We thank You, Lord, that we can rest in You, and we pray that we would rest in Your promises, in Your hope. And we pray, Lord, that You would use us, small and insignificant as we be according to the measure of the world, to work mighty things for the glory of You, our great God and Savior. We pray, Lord, that all that we are would glorify You and glorify our Savior, who offered Himself in our place. For we pray these things in His name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."